Blog praise Talk the Lord. Radio.
You got it.
Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I am going to have a special guest tonight. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Talk Radio, and I am so excited to be on K-Ask Radio tonight, doing God's will, doing God's work, and his purpose, and that is to mission his word that it will go forth. This is such a beautiful day today and an awesome time to be again in the presence of those who are willing to hear a word from God tonight and to be in the presence of others that love the Lord, that are just excited about Jesus Christ. And this is the purpose of this radio ministry, Mission from the Heart. Today is going to be a wonderful program. I have a guest that will be with us, that is with us tonight, and her name is Gail Gower, and I would just like for Gail to let me know that she is with me tonight on the phone. And Gail Gower, and I'm just waiting for her. We are just super excited,
Gail, you know,
on what God is doing in our lives. Gail, if you are there, please say hello. I am so excited for others who are listening tonight, who are on the program, to hear from you. And so if you could just acknowledge yourself, I would be so grateful. So that
hello, Carnita. Can you hear
good
me?
Good Eve. Yes, I can hear you now, sister. Well, praise the Lord and hallelujah. How are you?
I am doing great. Thank you so much for having me on your program.
Oh, you are so welcome. I am so grateful and honored to just have a sister in Christ on this program tonight, Mission from the Heart. And I tell you, her and I go way back, and when God crossed our paths with one another, we were already believers in Christ Jesus. So we connected from the very day that we met, and I thank God on how much of an impact she has been in my life concerning ministry, concerning growing in the Word of God, and just experiencing him through her. She took me several places to Joyce Meyer Ministry, Beth Moore Ministry, and we've been friends for a long time. And then God brought about a separation between her and I so that we could grow in our individual calling. And so God has allowed this separation to come between us. Now, Gail, say hello to those that are out there listening, that have called in and that are listening on the line, and that those that are out in across the World Wide Web. Just give a greeting to them.
Well, hello to you all. This is Gail Gower. I am so excited that Carnita has asked me to be on her program and talk a little bit about what God is doing in my life, because he has really taken me in a path that has changed my life totally in my walk with him, and I'm just really excited to be able to share that with you all tonight.
Amen. Well, I'm super excited. I just want to get right into our program, because what God has done through you, Gail, is just amazing, and I think so many those that are listening tonight would love to hear your journey, and also using your journey and your life as a testimony, as a witness of God's very word. And so I just want to get started. So I'm just going to ask you this first question, and how and when did you come into relationship with Christ?
Well, excuse me, I grew up basically in church. My family started taking me to church when I was young. I remember walking the aisle in a small country church as a young girl and accepting Christ. I stayed in church with my family. We were there faithfully up through my school years. And during my teenage years, I ended up walking away from the Lord. I did not live for the Lord during probably my 20s. And it wasn't until the time that I met Keith, my husband now, that I finally started getting back to the Lord, because we were both trying to get back in church a little bit when we met. And then when we started dating, then church became part of our life, and it just grew from there.
Mm. Amen. And so about around what time of your life was this? Were you young, or were you more mature in your life? Were kids already involved?
I already had my son. I was in my early 30s at the time that I started getting back to church. And it was a growing experience, because even though I had been raised in church, there was a lot that I did not know. I was kind of an immature Christian, so it took years for me to grow and kind of get in line with what the Lord wanted me to do. And it wasn't until I started going to, like, the Beth Moore Bible studies there whenever we lived in Houston that got me into the Word, going through the homework with those studies and getting into the Bible myself and reading on my own and praying and really asking God to lead me, did it really impact my life in a greater way than just going to church on Sundays and Wednesdays. It wasn't until it became personal to me through daily reading and prayer and searching God that He really started changing my life drastically.
Well, you know, you said something that really captured my attention, and I hope that those that are listening tonight really listen with intensity to her, because as she said, she fell away from church, and you know, that is something that we all have tendencies to do when we come to know Christ, because we're so brand new and we're fighting against our flesh, those things that we desire, and then the new person is growing in our lives and in our hearts, and we're trying to get, I guess, if you will, acclimated to the Holy Spirit living inside, this new way of life, but I want this over here because of what I'm used to. But what captured me, Gail, was the fact that you made a decision as you started walking upright in your salvation or in your new life, your born-again life, that you started digging in. You started reading daily and becoming more saturated with God's Word, correct?
That's correct. Whenever we lived in the North Texas area, the pastor that we have, Brother Dwayne, really opened my eyes up to a new way of having a relationship with the Lord, because he started talking about the things that the Lord showed him and the Lord spoke to him. And I didn't have that in my upbringing in my church years as a child. And I started wanting that, and I already had that hunger for the Lord, even from the time that the Lord moved us from North Texas to the Houston area where we were for 12 years. And when we were in church down there, it's when I started attending Beth Moore Bible studies that I got into the daily reading and the daily searching of the Scriptures and finding a personal path for myself that really changed my life. And it took me years before I actually got on that path of the daily reading and seeking the Lord.
Mm. Yeah, and that's another good point you made, a personal path. That just kind of popped out as well as you were sharing, because that is so important for new believers, those who are new to their relationship with Christ. And I think you made a major impact as far as what is needed, ingredients, you know, concerning to find a personal path or walk in your calling, as some have say, in the Christian world, and you daily read and you searched the scriptures to find a personal path. And I just believe those are just some very important points for a lot of us who are new to Christ, and even those who have may have fallen away, backslidden, carnal-minded, you know, or just the fire has gone out in some way, shape, or form. But I just really think those are some major ingredients to our relationship and the building up of our relationship with Christ. So yes. Well, and that just really impacted. So those that are listening tonight, I really pray and believe that God wants you to receive, and He wants you to hear. He wants you to grow and go in the grace of Jesus Christ. So this is just not a talk show introducing someone. This is ministry. So I just have to continue to express how important it is for us to receive the nuggets that the Lord wants us to receive tonight. And for those of you who know not Christ and you were led to call in tonight and listen to the program, and you were led to log in tonight on the internet and receive this from through Gail and I as we dialogue tonight. So please, as we move through the program, we pray that you would fall on your knees or extend your hands and receive Jesus as your salvation. So, Gail, let me ask you this question. What scripture did you hold on to when storms came into your life? And how did they heal you, bring you peace, and encourage you?
Well, whenever I read through the questions, the way that you had worded it, storms of life, it really brought a situation to my mind. I really could not come up with a specific scripture that I used routinely. I have a lot of scriptures that I use over and over, but the storms of life brought about a testimony that I took me through several years ago. I had got up early one morning for my Bible study and came into what I call my study room. It's actually a bedroom with the desk and all my books and things in it, and my desk was in front of a window. And I could see a storm on the horizon, and it was early morning, and I could see the clouds and the lightning. And I sat down to read, and the Lord took me to Psalm 61. And He had me to read the Psalms, and then He had me go back and pray the Psalms. And He had me to zero in on verse 4, which is, "I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings." So after I read through that and prayed it, and then I felt a release from that, and I went ahead and proceeded on with my scripture reading. And I had been here for probably about an hour. And at that time, the storm, had moved in, and the wind began to blow and rain and so forth. And I was sitting here, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "It's a bad storm. Move away from the window." And I closed my Bible, and I stood up, and I turned, and I took about 2 steps. And when I did, the window next to me, which was about 4 or 5 feet away, crashed in.
Wow.
And the storm had picked up a carport, a roof off of a carport, and rolled it across our acreage and slammed it in to the window next to where I sat. And I truly believe that the Lord protected me that day, that did not come directly into the window in front of me, because where the carport was located is directly in the path to this window rather than the other window. And I just thank God so much that He had me pray that scripture that morning and read that, and that He protected me that day.
Wow. Now, that just shows how scripture does work when we believe in Jesus Christ. The scriptures are breathing, and they're just a living word and how you were doing with what you normally find routine as far as preparing your time with the Lord to set aside time for study with him and to draw into him through scripture reading, and how that very psalm was a safety. It was a word from God for you to move. And that is just so God in his amazing ways to use his word to guide and direct and bring refuge to our lives. So I'm very moved by that. So it brought you safety, right, Yael?
I believe it did. I truly believe the Lord was watching over me that day. I don't think that I remember him ever taking me to a specific scripture like that over a situation and have me read it out loud and pray it like he did that day and zero in on a certain scripture. So I believe that he was showing me to pray for my safety that morning and for me to be in the shelter of his wings.
Amen. 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 Well, that's awesome for God's hands to move in our lives. And I just have to say this because I don't want anyone to miss the movement of God in her life. And this is so common with the work of God in our lives, Gail, that when he sees his children, and when I say his children, for the benefit of those who know not the Father, in the pardoning of their sins. And as we move through the program, you'll see why it is so important for you to come to know to the Father in the pardoning of your sin, and to fall on your knees and extend a hand, extend a prayer of salvation, and asking him to come into your heart, because of what we're getting to in this program tonight with Gail tonight. But I just don't want to move too fast for the benefit of those who are listening and for those who know not the Lord as you and I do and so many others. So, yes, the Word of God does work, and it provides refuge. It provides peace for us and encouragement, right, Gail?
Yes, it does.
I tell you. Well, let me ask you this, and I know it seems like I'm just kind of running some questions, but a lot of times when we're asked questions, it provokes us to really think and reflect back on the amazing work that God has done in our lives and some revelations that he's revealed to us in our lives that we never even imagined would make manifest, would even just come to surface. But God has revealed to you another one of your gifts. Now, I know you have several gifts, and one in particular that I want to get to is this one that I would like for you to explain or tell us about today, if you will. And what is that?
And I think you're probably referring to my writing.
Well,
and the way that the Lord has brought about a thing in my life that just has really deepened my relationship with him. I was in the middle of a Bible study with some friends here in this area. We were doing the Esther Bible study by Beth Moore. And one night I was up doing my homework and praying and seeking the Lord. My husband and my son, who was living with us at the time, were both asleep. I was praying over them and praying about the Lord. And I was reading the homework. And part of the homework that where we were that particular time was the story of Esther, where she goes before the king. And even though her situation was a very serious situation, because in that day and time, if the king did not receive you when you came into the court, you were instantly killed. And so I was thinking about that and how the king had said to her, ask whatever you wish and it shall be given to you up to half the kingdom. And I was thinking about that, and I was like, Lord, what would that be like to be before a king and he tell you or and say to you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you up to half of the kingdom. And I was just meditating on that, and the Lord just spoke to me and said, Gail, you know you can come before me at any time. And I was just stunned because I was like, that's right. I really can, God. I can come before you at any time. And so then I got to thinking about, well, what would I pray for? What would I ask for if I had a request that that I could just bring before God and ask him, and I know that he would give that to me. I said, Lord, what would I ask for? So I had to pray about what to ask for because my flesh immediately took over, and yes. I started thinking, you know, I would ask for the money, you know, I would ask for finances, and I thought, you know what, that's not it because I have family members that I want to be saved. And I thought, well, that can't be it either because I have friends that I want to know Jesus. And then I just had to stop and say, God, show me what I should ask for. And he gave me a quote that I have used in my prayer so many times that is to be used by God in a way that multitudes would come to know Jesus. And I thought, you know what, even if I just am able to encourage one person in the Lord to keep up their walk or encourage one person to come to the Lord, that person might be the one that goes out and leads multitudes to Jesus. So I just want to be faithful in what he had shown me. Well, it was the next day I had got up, and I was, of course, again, doing my Bible study and homework. My husband and son had left for the day because it was a Saturday. And so I was in the house by myself, and I was reading the book of Esther again and doing the homework and that. And the Lord began to speak to me and give me the story of Esther wrote out in a rhyme. And so I started writing things down as it came to mind. And so I wrote for a while, and then I got up and was going to do some other things around the house. But other verses just came to me, so I went back and I wrote some more. And then I had some errands to do, so I took my pencil and paper and tried to shop. And even when I was in the stores, more verses would come to me. And by the end of the day, I had written almost the entire story of Esther in a rhyme. And
wow.
Since that time, he has used that in me in the last, it's been over 5 years now, to where I have written other stories from the Bible. I've written Ruth, and I've written about Jonah and Noah, and all of it comes out in a rhyme, a simple childlike rhyme. And my grammar is not good. I had to get past the point to where I was intimidated to share this with people because I really felt like, you know, if I would have been a little bit more educated, then I could share this. But I finally had to get past the point of, Lord, you know, it has to be you speaking through these, and I'm just going to have to get behind on this and let you come through. And I read a quote by Mark Batterson in a book called The Circle Maker, and this quote just really changed my life. He wrote in there, too many authors worry about whether or not their books will get published. That isn't the question. The question is this, are you called to write? If the answer is yes, then you need to write as an act of obedience.
Mm.
And that one just really set me free because I really felt like God was calling me to write. And even though my grammar is not good, my stories, little rhymes are really childlike, I write because I feel like that's what God has called me to do, and it's through obedience that I write for him.
I tell you, that is just amazing. That is just amazing. And out of your obedience, out of our obedience, out of our obedience, blessings just come in an abundance. And I just believe that because he's shown us that from Genesis all the way through Revelations. And it reminds me of the children coming out of Egypt. And if they would have just obeyed, trust and obey, and that's what you did with this, in spite of our own, what do we think? You know, you said if I had gone to school, if I had better usage of words and things of that nature, you know, we're our own worst, what, critic? You know, we beat ourselves up, and you know what that is, that those are just little obstacles in our lives to keep us from carrying out what God has called us to do. It's called a form of fear. If you, do you agree, Gail, to where?
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
You know, because if I had not been able to get past the insecurity myself of being able to get up and talk in front of people and share with them, then God would not have been able to use this gift. They would just end up being files on my computer.
Yes. And of course, the enemy, Satan himself, does not want the word of God to go forth. He does not want it to go out to be an impact in somebody's life for generations to come. But the word promises that what the grass wither and the flowers fadeth away, but the word of God stands forever. And I just believe through your books and through your writings, that's God's word standing forever from generation to generation to generation. And I just think that is just an amazing calling on your life and how you just barreled through those insecurities that could have just stopped this train from rolling. Amen?
Amen. I really don't feel like I've barreled through. It's been 5 years of struggle, and God has basically had to drag me several times. You know, I have just, I have shed so many tears over this of, God, what do you want me to do with this? Why didn't you give this gift to someone else, someone more talented, someone who had the ability to write better than me, who had the ability to share, who had more training in your word, just, you know, all the different things that came to my mind of why I couldn't do this and, you know, why couldn't I get these published, why, you know, it just, there's been a lot of insecurities, and it's been a slow process. God has had to mature me to get to the point to say, you know what, God, you need to use this gift through me. I need to step out of the way and just let you take charge and whatever you want to do with it.
Amen. Amen. And that reminds me of, that so reminds me of Moses. Remember when he was called to bring the Israelites, the children out of Egypt, and what did he do with God? He petitioned to God and said, but I can't speak, right? I you know, I don't have the right words, and God provided. God provided. He still used him because he was chosen, just as yourself, and just as so many of us who are listening tonight, who are just uncertain, unsure of their calling, but they know that God has spoken something into their heart, and just carrying it out of obedience, and he will give us every step of the way. And yes, you have, and it was a long haul, it was, but you know what? When you push the enemy out of the way, that to me, I just really believe that that is the press on, you know, in spite of the storms that seem to appear as though I'm not getting anywhere, you pressed on.
That's and right. Yes, I had a funny situation kind of happened where the Lord took me last year to study the woman with the issue of blood, and I had studied this woman and learned a lot about it, and he took me to a totally different area of thinking about this woman that I had never really considered before. And then the women's retreat at our church camp was coming up, and I felt like that he wanted me to share. So I went to the lady that was in charge, and I said, do you mind if I share something that the Lord has given me? It'll only take me a couple of minutes, and I also want to introduce our Bible study that we're starting on Monday nights at the church. And she said, sure, that's fine. I will put you down on the program. Well, the next morning I woke up and I realized there is going to be 100-plus women out there, and I was just in a panic, and I went back to the church and I said, I think I've changed my mind about that. And she said, too late, you're already on the program. So I had to go ahead and get my courage up and let God work through me, and I was able to share with those women the rhyme that God had given me about the woman with the issue of blood. And I had different women come up to me afterwards and tell me how much that had ministered to them about the way that that had spoke to them and the way, the different way I had of looking at that, that God had taken me to that. So it was really interesting, and that was probably my first time to speak in front of a large group like that. I had spoke a couple of other places, but not that large of a group. And so I know that God has had to really work on me because I'm not an out front kind of person. I like to be in an area where I'm comfortable in my environment with the people I'm comfortable in, and then I'm talkative. If I'm in a situation where I'm not comfortable, I don't know the people, I have a more tendency to be reserved and quiet. So for me to be up in front of a group is a total change and out of the box situation.
Hey, but you know, that is so like God. I think he brings us out of our comfort zone, and why I just believe that it's so we can totally depend on him for every single minute, second, and we just cleave to his leg like a little two-year-old to their daddy or to their mom. You know, they just, I can't do this. I don't want to leave you. In that sense, you know, and I just think that's amazing on how God does that with us, especially when we're out of our comfort zone, and we do have those tendencies like a child to just cleave to him like a daddy, you know, I don't know how I'm going to do this, Lord, and that's what I believe that just makes him smile, you know, in a sense to where we can sense that from him, that loving father that he is. Now, this is what I would like for you to do, Gail. Let's read some excerpts from your book now, and the one that you gave me, which is The Story of Salvation, correct?
Yes.
How did this one come to light? How did it come through? How did God reveal this to you?
I think I started this a couple of years ago. At Christmas time, I was wanting to write something for Christmas, and so I just was studying about the birth of Christ and the whole kind of Christmas story kind of thing, and I love to dig through the commentaries and find out all the information I can. And I had started this, and it kind of went into a file, and then I didn't really get very far with it. Christmas had passed. And so I had just kind of pushed it aside. I went on with my life doing other studies and different things. And then a situation had come up later, and I started digging back into this, and I really felt like the Lord wanted me to finish it. So I went back and worked on it some more and brought the whole thing about. And, of course, whenever the rhymes came into my life, I really felt like, well, maybe God wants me to get these published and there'll be books. And so I started sending off the copies to publishers and things. And a quote from Debbie Macomber, I read one time that she said the rejection letters came so fast they hit her in the back of the head on the way back from the mailbox. And I thought, I can relate to that so much because rejection letters just came, they just piled up. And I was just so discouraged. And I was like, God, why didn't you give this gift to someone who could use it, who could do something with it? But I really feel like now that God has used it through me for a specific purpose of I'm not a highly educated person. I feel myself as a very average, ordinary person who just loves the Lord, and the Lord has just brought this about in my life. And so I, on my own, hired an artist, and we got some pictures made, and she drew those, and then my husband owns a printing company, and so through the artist's drawings and his printing company, we were able to put some books into print that I gave out to my friends and family.
Wow, that's amazing. And I just, you know, and how beautiful it is to have a husband who has a printing company. You know?
Yeah, I think God really made a smart move on that since my husband owns a printing company. But, you know, also, again, I have to be considerate of that because he has to make a living and he can't just print what I want him to print for free. So
absolutely.
We have to keep that separate, you know, as far as my writing and printing and the things that I wanted to have printed and his company and being productive and being
right.
a sound company.
Right. Well, let's look at the book and let's look at some a few excerpts in your book and Gail's book is titled The Story of Salvation, and the artwork on it I just think is so beautiful. And and as you spoke about the book, and I want you to touch on just quickly before we look at some of the excerpts in your book, why the family members as illustration, why biblical characters?
The first lady that was the artist that I talked to about doing the pictures, she and I talked about it a couple of different times, and then we got together, and she told me, she said, I really don't think that I'm able to do this, but I'd like to refer you to a different artist. But she said, why not use your family members as the different characters in the book? And I thought, wow, how awesome that would be to have this story that I'm putting together and letting my own family members be the different people from the Bible and let them be the characters in the book. So it just turned out so special to me to be able to look through the book and see the pictures that are my family members as representative of the people from the Bible.
Mm. Yeah, that really touched my heart when you made that acknowledgement on the last page of this particular book, and you said that it was so special, you know, and then you list their names as who the characters are and the family member of your family. I thought that was really, really sweet and special, and it just kind of gave it a extra tender touch to the book, you know, more intimate. So I thought that was really amazing, and so that's why I had to ask, because I wasn't sure where. I knew it had to have been inspired by God through the individual who said, hey, why don't you use your family members? But it's beautifully done, and it does make a special gift, if you will, for generations to come, you know, as they grow up and get older. So
right. And yeah, I think one of the things that one of the pictures that is most special to me is whenever she drew the picture of Mary, she took a picture of my mom from whenever she was in high school and then put that in as Mary. And my mom passed away many years ago. It's been almost 20 years ago while I was living in Houston. But I know that it was my mother's prayers that brought me back to the Lord. She had prayed for me faithfully for years, the years that I was out trying to do my own thing in the world. And to be able to use her image in the book just made it even more special, because I know that it's because of her prayers that this all has came about.
Amen. And I'm looking at that picture right now. So, yes. So I can see how special that is. And then, of course, with Mother's Day on the horizon, you know, coming around the corner, it's just even more of a special moment. Okay, so let's look at, if we can, together. Gail, I want to look at the excerpt where past the illustration of the serpent, and your next illustration is Jesus, the adult Jesus. And it talks about how Adam and Eve were banished from the garden.
Yes, that picture is actually of my son. And he is representative of the prophets that spoke of Jesus that was to come. And part of it says, well, let me just read you this page here. It says, they had disobeyed God, there would be a great cost. But God knew what he would do, and all was not lost. Banished from the garden, never again to return, was the price for sin Adam and Adam and Eve would soon learn. So is the account of the garden and the fall of man, that God would send his son as part of his plan. The same story was given by the prophets of old. The Messiah is coming, was the message they told.
And continue on.
Okay. Through the line of King David, the Savior would come, but not all believed. It was a stumbling block to some. Then one came from the desert to prepare the Lord's way. Repent, for the kingdom is near, is what he would say.
Now, stop right there. What I love about this excerpt here is the fact that you said through the line of King David, the Savior would come, but not all believed. And I rested there because that is so true today. You know, but not all believed. It was a stumbling block to some. And I just want to ask you, how is that a stumbling block to us in our lives?
I know that some just really don't want to believe that Jesus was the Son of God, mm-hmm. that he came and lived on this earth a sinless life, that he died for our sins on the cross, and that he rose 3 days later. They choose not to believe that. They choose to turn away from that. I myself had turned away from the Lord during the time in my life, and now that I have come back, it has made my life so much richer.
Amen.
And just my relationship with him and knowing that there is a God that loves us, that protects us in the storm, like the testimony I gave earlier, that he is watching over us. And, you know, I have been through some hard times, and I know that others have too, but God is there with us. Even in the hard times, he's with us in the good times. He is there to watch over us.
Amen. Amen. Well, and I just think that is such a ministry. And for those of you who are listening tonight, I so hope that you are really hearing with what Gail is speaking and what the Lord is speaking through her tonight, today, because it is so important that you receive him as your Lord and Savior. How beautifully that the book be written concerning the story of salvation. And that's what it takes for us to go to heaven. And I tell you, one of her prayers and her desire was to be used by God, that a multitude would come to Jesus. And this is a way. And I know that God is going to inspire you, Gail, to do even more. So amen to that. I want to go on to the page where it right over to the next page from the one you just read. And if you would read that.
Are you talking about the one where
Mary, your mother?
Mary?
Yes. Yes.
It said, now Joseph was promised to a virgin named Mary, the name of King David, both families did carry. To Mary, an angel of the Lord did appear. He said, God has sent me, please do not fear. I have come from heaven with a message to tell. You will have a son who will be called Emmanuel. Mary asked, how can this be since I know not a man? The angel replied, all things are possible for a God who can. The Holy Spirit will come upon you with the power of the Most High. May it be done according to your will, was Mary's reply.
Now, and I just thought this, I mean, what popped out to me when I read this in your book was the very things that you just said 2 seconds ago prior to reading this excerpt in your book. And the same thing popped out to me, and I wrote it down in your book, and I wrote, believe by faith, saved by grace, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and filled with the Holy Spirit. And
wow.
That, it just, as I read that, and you had said just a few seconds ago, and then I jotted it down, I tell you, God is so amazing in shaping us and molding us to know the reason why Jesus had to come. He had to come because Ephesians 1 and 7, chapter 1, verse 7, just says it beautifully. And I'm reading from, I'm going to read that verse, Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 7, and I'm going to read it from the CEB translation, which is one of my favorite translations, and that's a contemporary English. And it says this: Christ sacrificed his life's blood to set us free, which means that our sins are now forgiven. Did this because God was so kind to us. God has great wisdom and understanding. And by what Christ has done, God has shown us his own mysterious ways. And I just thought that, you know, that lets me know, and it should let us know, that because of his blood, we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we believe by faith. Mary believed. She believed. She had faith. She believed by faith that what the angel said was going to make manifest in her stomach, in her belly. And it says that the Holy Spirit will come up on you. So that just really spoke volume to me, Gail, when you had indicated, when it indicated that the Holy Spirit would fall upon you. And, of course, how beautifully it is with being saved and a child of God, and the very moment that you fall on your knees and you ask God to come into your heart, you are what? Filled with the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Wow. That's awesome. I want to jump fast forward over to the page, and then we will move on from here, over to the page with the baby in a swaddling blanket.
Yes, that picture is a little bit special to me. That would be my grandson.
Man.
Isn't that awesome to be able to use him as baby Jesus?
Okay.
And the picture of him smiling, it just turned out wonderful because it just portrayed Jesus as a happy, smiling baby. And I thought, you know what? I know that he was smiling because he loves us. And to be able to use that picture to me was just wonderful.
Wow. Let's read, if you would, that, and then we are going to kind of wrap up our program. I hate to do that because this is just a special time, but go right ahead.
Okay. The baby Jesus was born in the stable that night. Angels filled the sky. What a wonderful sight. Mm-hmm. Jesus came from heaven to earth and lived his life without sin. He prepared the way for people to come to God again. Jesus spoke in parables and let us know God does care. He taught us how to pray by using the Lord's Prayer. Jesus went about healing and doing all that was good. He taught us how to live our lives as we should. Some did not believe that he was God's son and wanted him to die. He was put on a trial, and the witness story was a lie. Jesus hung on a cross with a crown of thorns on his head. This is the King of Jews, the sign above him said. Jesus bore the shame as he hung on the cross, but his death brought salvation, so it was not a loss.
Hallelujah.
He was raised again in the day count of three. He had paid the price for all men to be free.
Wow. And that just goes right back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, how Jesus sacrificed his life's blood to set us free. Wow, that is amazing. That is just an awesome. This is an awesome book. I just
pause.
I just believe that God has done amazing
pause.
Pause.
I'm getting so much joy to listen to this young lady. Until your line is lit, I'm going to extend y'all another hour if y'all want to be on the radio.
Well,
I'm
praise the Lord.
You another hour.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, great. Gail, this is a blessing. This is a blessing God, because the lines are lit up and he can see so many people are just enjoying with what you are sharing, and just look at God's amazing hand and work in this program tonight, Gail. This is just an amazing opportunity for us to witness and share about God's word and how he has done such a wonderful work through you, that the word of God will continue to go on for generations. Okay, so since the timekeeper has indicated to me that we can continue, let's do this. Now, and I thank God for that opportunity, because I want to stop here for this moment and let's pray. That prayer that you have in the very back, the last page, or the page before the last page,
yeah.
I would love for you to read that, Gail, and then when you're done, we just pray for those that are listening. And actually, you can read this as the prayer for those that are listening who may not know the Lord. So please prepare your ears to receive this blessing from God, that you will not walk away, that you will not turn away from the very blessing that you need to have eternal life. So I just encourage you to prepare your ears and your heart to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior as Gail reads this prayer. And please don't walk away turning and saying, oh, I'll do this some other time, or I'll pray later, or I'll receive him later. No, today is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and today has been the time appointed unto you to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So go right ahead, Gail, if you will.
Okay. It says, if you want to ask Jesus to live in your heart, then praying this prayer is where you can start. Because you died for my sins, I know how much you care. So, Jesus, I ask you to be my Lord through this simple prayer. You came from heaven to earth for all men to see. You paid the price for our sins, and that includes me. I believe you are my Savior, my God, and my King. I want all you have to offer and all your word can bring. I know through myself there's not enough I can do. The payment for my sins had to be made by you. I will say you are Lord before all men, and you hung on the cross to pay for our sin. I thank you, Lord, for all you have done. The enemy is defeated, and through Jesus we won. This is the plan God made before time began, salvation through Jesus, eternal life. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So if your heart was in tune with what Gail has prayed over you, and you received that in the tenderness of your heart, please just ask the Lord to purify you and clean you up from the inside out, and get into a Bible teaching church that will disciple you, that you will grow and go in the Lord, and that he will reveal to you your gifts and your calling on your life, that the kingdom will continue to be built and the word will continue to go forth. So please, I just encourage you that are listening to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Thank you so much, Gail, for praying for those need to hear and need to be set free, as it says in Ephesians 1, verse 7. So praise the Lord. So we're going to move on to my next question, and that is, are there more of your books coming in the works? Go right ahead.
Okay, at this point in time, my books are not actually published through a publishing company. They are printed by my husband, and they are not able to be sold in stores. And I really don't have an avenue to get them out to the public. We're working on that. At this point in time, my heart is to have a printing of this book, The Story of Salvation Again. I'm going to make some changes in that, not in the wording, but in the construction of the book itself, and get those books out. I know that I have to have some legal documents as far as being a published book, which I don't have. So I really want to get the book out to children that are in the hospitals. I want to have an avenue to get it out to the people that are hurting. And the Lord's just going to have to open up the way for that to be done. I don't have any of those avenues at this point in time, so we're just looking at taking it back and getting it printed some more, and the Lord's just going to have to open the doors for the next step.
Amen. Amen. And we just believe we just know and believe by faith that this is God's will for this. You know, he won't bring us this far or bring you this far, and so many of us that are seeking the Lord, and he has given visions and dreams to, you know, and just leave us there hanging. He will continue. And it was so wonderful for you to have said, Gail, that when you started on this book, what did you do? You started it around the holiday time, Christmas time, and then what happened? You said that you put it aside. And then,
well, once the holidays had passed, the Christmas story was kind of gone from my mind. So I just, had set it aside or just, closed that file on my computer and gone on to something else. And normally after the first year, we start up a Bible study at my church on Monday nights, and I lead those. So I was probably just studying whatever Bible study we were working on, and had just closed this file and gotten away from it. And then the Lord took me back to it at a later time. And when he did, I was able to finish the rhyme and complete it and then started the process of, well, what am I going to do with it now, Lord? I have this story that I really feel like it needs to go out. But even though I've tried to get them published, I get so many rejection letters, and I just don't know what to do. And so I decided on my own to just hire an artist, which I did, and get the pictures drawn, and that took about a year in itself. And then once we got those drawn and was able to get them down to the book size, then I was able to get some of the books printed and gave out to friends and family.
Wow. I tell you, that the more that you explain how all of this came to the printed product and given out as gifts, it's just amazing on how the Word of God, it was written and it was stored, and it was, revealed at certain parts of time, or points in time, to where the Bible was collected and printed and gathered for us to have this Bible, basic instructions before leaving Earth, is what I like to refer to it as, our basic instructions, and how it was all pulled together and how he had it stored in so many different places until the right appointed time for it to be revealed. And I just see that happening with this book as well, and how you started it, put it away, came back to it, and then it is in the developed product as it is today. And I just saw God's handiwork in that as well.
Also,
I just feel like,
yes,
also,
I just feel like it has such a message that needs to go out to the world. And so I'm looking to try and get it to go out again.
And it will. Yes, Dr. Hunter.
Okay. Well, what I want to do tonight for this beloved sister, and I'm moved by the Holy Spirit, because a door of opportunity has opened for this radio station, as well as you, Carnesia, and all who are listening. I have the faith to believe, if you have the faith to believe, God, you have touched God's heart about the children. I wrote it down tonight. You mentioned the children seven different times, and the children, the one we're trying to reach. So believe with me. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to release it, and we're going to watch God bring you what you need. Amen?
Amen. Thank you so much.
I hate to intrude, but I'm just moved by God.
No, go right ahead.
Father, tonight that we just come before you to edify, to glorify what this young sister is doing. The things that you have brought up through as well as us. When we had nothing, you brought us somewhere. When we couldn't see, you kept your eyes up on us. Tonight, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And before we come to you, Father, we ask that Jesus Christ would look upon us and see if we have any sins, any wrongdoing, any wrongful, any thoughts that are not according to what you desire, Jesus. I ask you by the word of your living word that it made flesh, became alive, that tonight is a night that you will, on the radio station around the world, somebody will hear. Somebody has a desire in their heart to reach out and touch. And we declare and decree, Father, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, that the door of opportunity is opening for her to publish her books, Father. It's not too hard because you've made a way for her. Let it be a staircase of stepping, moving forward, forward, forward. This is my prayer to you, Father. You've answered every prayer that I've prayed to you. And I ask you tonight that you will do it for her because her heart desires for you. And not only her, but her husband. Keep them in comfort. Keep them in joy. Keep them in peace. And all who listen tonight, be blessed because, Father, it's you, all about you. I say this, Father, through faith, believing that all things work together. If you put it in our hands, you can put it in our hands also. And we love her, and we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name of Nazareth. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Dr. Hunter, for that beautiful prayer and just believing by faith that it has already taken shape. It will be there. It will be according to God's plan and purpose. And we just believe that. So I am so excited that, Gail, I know you have to tomorrow's another day, and I would love for you to continue for the program, but out of respect for tomorrow being a day of work, I don't want to keep you too long and too late. But one thing I do want to say is if those who are interested, how for the benefit of those who may want a copy, how would they or could they get in contact with you for a copy of this beautiful book?
At this point in time, Carnita, there are not any more copies. We're just looking at taking it back to print, getting more copies made. I'm just seeking the Lord on what he wants me to do in the next step. You know, it's been a five-year process to even get to this point. And so he's just going to have to open the doors and make the way for this to move forward.
Amen. Well, I'll have to have you back on the program again so that once that, and of course we will be in, stay in touch with each other, but once that comes to manifest in your life with this book, you have to let me know so that others will know and can contact you concerning this, because it is just a beautiful gift to have for generations to come. I mean, for the grandkids, the children, and so needed for this generation, these younger generations, to come to know Jesus, you know, and in such a beautiful way that God has gifted you to put it in print form.
Thank you so much, Carnita. It's just been awesome to be able to talk with you again. I miss our times together whenever I live there in Houston, and we were be able to sit and talk about the things that the Lord's doing, because he's just really taken my life in an area that I had no idea that he would move me in this direction, and how great the relationship with him would be, how much joy it would bring to my life. And just the happiness. And I have to say, it's not all easy. I have shed many, many tears over these rhymes and writing them and sharing them and how do I get them out to the world. But it's been a process, I think, of God growing me up and teaching me and preparing me, and I think that he's going to move this forward.
Amen. I tell you, this just gives hope to those that are listening tonight. This is your hope to know that, excuse me, that through each and every one of us, none of us are perfect. No one is perfected anything but through God's grace and mercy. And because of his son, Jesus, we can come to the Father and ask him, Lord, just as Gail has asked, and he will reveal to you, coming to him, seeking him, and wanting to know him. And that's what this relationship thing is when we are in relationship or fellowship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then he will reveal these things at their perfect time. You know, our time is not his time, so we have to be patient and learn how to wait, because the blessings are in the waiting. And so just as Gail did, just as you said, Gail, it has not been an easy walk, but it has been honoring to him and worth it.
That's right. It has been so worth it, just the relationship that I have with the Lord now and how much he has brought about in my life. And being able to give me the courage to lead a Bible study in my own church now. And I write rhymes, and I share with them the last study that we did. We recently did one on David. It was by Beth Moore. And then we've done a study of Jonah by Priscilla Shire. And I had a rhyme about David's dilemma, which I had shared with you whenever I was in Houston recently, where I wrote about David and Bathsheba. And I did not have that rhyme finished at the time the study started. And I told the women, I'm going to start reading it to you, but God is going to have to speak to me before it's over with, or I'm not going to be able to finish. And sure enough, I started reading, and I read them a little each week. And before the study was over, the Lord just spoke, and I was able to finish that rhyme. And then when we were doing the Priscilla Shiner study on Jonah, I was thinking about that one day. I was driving to visit my son, and I was just thinking about what it's going to be like to meet Jonah when we get in heaven, and things we might ask him. And I was thinking, what's it going to be like to interview Jonah? What's he going to have to say? And it just started coming to me, and I was trying to write and drive, which is not a really good thing. So I had a piece of paper, and I was just, like, trying to write down words here and there and get it going. I finally stopped at a Starbucks and just sat down with my pen and pad and just wrote and wrote and wrote, and he had revealed it to me. And before I even arrived at my son's house, I had the interview with Jonah all written out. It was just an amazing time because he had never revealed something so fast like that before. It was just amazing.
Mm. It was coming off so fast that you couldn't write fast enough, correct?
I couldn't write and drive. I had to pull over.
Wow. And that and that lets me know that this is God-inspired. And he was feeding you, and like you said, you had to pull over and write with what he was telling you. That is so how the word of God has been was penned on paper or papyrus or whatever the material it was written on. But I just believe that's how the Holy Spirit works in and through us, you know, and allows the fruit and the gifts just fall from us. And I think, I tell you, it's definitely a beautiful relationship. Well, I thank you so much, Gail, for being a guest on this program tonight, Mission from the Heart. I know I want you to come back and just reveal to us what God has done as another step to getting your books published and in print, so that so many people can enjoy with what God has just so poured into you over the years. And I am so grateful that you said yes out of obedience to the work of God, and that's in print form, and yes to being a guest on Mission from the Heart.
Thank you so much, Carnita. This has just been a wonderful experience, and I'm so excited that the next time I come back, I will be telling you about the books published and where people can buy them.
Well, in Jesus' name, I know that it will be a joy just to hear how God has accomplished that in and through you. And I know it would be an excitement to hear that. So you tell your husband I said hello. I hope he's listening to the program tonight. And I just want to thank so many others that are out there tonight that today that have called in to listen to this beautiful testimony and how God has worked a wonderful work in her, Gail Gower, and she has written this wonderful book called The Story of Salvation, and of course so many others that are going to be on the horizon. And I just thank you for tuning in today, and we will be back on program Tuesday. What is today? It will be the 22nd of this month. We will be programming another guest that particular Thursday night, and I'm just excited, and I thank you for tuning in tonight. And this brings us to the end of the program. And I want to thank the Lord God for Dr. Hunter on kaskmedia.com. If you want to hear the program again and may have missed some points or some verses, please log into www.kaskmedia, all one word, kaskmedia, K-A-S-K-M-E-D-I-A. com, and go on the website there and just click around and see how the Dr. Hunter's website has just been a blessing to, it can be a blessing to you. So that is www.kaskmedia.com, and you can re-listen to this program at a further time and just go back and take notes and listen to Gail's awesome testimony again. So that is the blessing and the beauty of technology. So, again, this ends our program for tonight. Thank you so much, Gail, and thank you again for those who are listening. Continue to seek the Lord, walk humbly before the Lord, and continue to cry out to him and just be in prayer of Israel and so many other things that are taking place. This ends our program. God bless you, and good night.
Good night.